Committee meeting to order. First order of business, we need to do the pledge. Mike, can you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Approval of last meeting's minutes. Does anyone have any corrections, any questions on those? If not, need a motion. Brian moved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Any grievances?
If I could, just an FYI, not a grievance, but just in case you folks hear about it, I don't think we've communicated it because it really has nothing to do with us, but CSEA filed an improper practice against Corning Community College for a labor issue and named us because they're in our county, but obviously they're not our employees. They're not on our insurance. We don't negotiate their contracts. But Earl, our labor attorney, has to show up to the hearing and essentially say that. So just in case you hear anything, we are formally listed on that for some reason. Just
Just being thorough,
FYI.
I guess, huh? All right, department requests, law department.
Another FYI where if it's not us, young man was in the back of a Cohocton police car during an accident, keeping himself safe, and a tractor trailer came and plowed into the police car, and they sued Livingston County, Steuben County, State Police, and Cohocton and us. So we don't expect anything from it, but that's a recent claim against us. Just in the last couple of days, we received a false arrest and malicious prosecution. I'm not sure how far that one goes. I haven't looked into it. It's just been a couple of days. We'll talk with Brooks and the Sheriff's Department. Another one is, or another list is like 20 plus in rent. So the surplus money's getting sent back. Curtis is fully handling that matter. There'll be motions and appearances in front of Supreme Court Justice Cook. And in general, the person's getting their surplus money back unless there's an estate issue or a number of claimants issues and whether or not the mortgage companies can come in and start collecting surplus money. So it's been unusual. It's been very difficult and trying, but it's hard to come up with an exact process, but we're working on it. So those are the three categories I have.
All right, information technology. Who's doing information technology?
I guess I am. So, emailed you all, as noted in the email, for both of the comptroller audits, we are required to develop a corrective action plan. For IT reporting to the administration committee, submitted for your approval. Excuse me. Rob and Cody put together that draft corrective action plan. For this one, especially the one about categorizing data, that is going to be a cost that is going to require additional technology to be able to effectuate additional software and probably servers. They are scoping that out and they'll bring that back to you for budgeting planning purposes. The rest are largely policy or procedure related. So those would also come back. So
But we won't wait for the next budget in order to implement that.
for that, likely not. They didn't tell me what not cheap was, but not cheap in my mind is 50 grand or more, or something like that. But no, they're actively working on getting quotes for that right now, but we're not going to wait a whole 3 quarters of a year. We'll be bringing it back.
That's some sort of software additional program that categorizes data and assume it's going to have some sort of security protocols to make sure that it doesn't, leak that information other
Encryption,
places.
yes. Yep. And we already have encryption on email and data, but this would be a different, to your point, program.
And so we don't have anything like that currently.
We do, but not as comprehensive of a way as best practices want.
So really, we're just approving the plan as listed, but not any expenditures on it.
Correct. No, yeah, it's approval of you folks have to authorize this corrective action plan at finance. It'd be the finance corrective action plan. They'd be presented to the full legislature. Once adopted, we would then submit to the comptroller. And what the comptroller does is they then, if ever audited in the future, they would take that corrective action plan and see if we actually did those things.
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Real Property Tax Service, Larry.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A few things on my list today. First one is we need to extend the current contract for with Applied Business Systems for our tax bill printing and mailing. It was due. We need to do it. I only want to do it for the year, finish year of the 2026.
Same expenses in terms of nothing's changed on. Okay.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Second thing I have, we have a tax sanctuary for Town of Hornellsville. They want us to participate in an appraisal for this. So I'm just getting approval to join that appraisal.
Is that one particular property or is there
more? Yes, it's was it Elwood?
Elderwood.
So we get involved in these for the larger commercial tax certs. We normally apportion the cost based on assessed value, so the town and the school would also participate. And in talking with Tim, we normally put a not to exceed. I think if we put not to exceed $10,000, that would be sufficient. In this case, I think Elderwood came and they said their assessed value should be zero or $1. Yeah. Which we obviously don't think is correct.
What's their justification on
that?
Can't see it. That'd be a tough appraisal for
one. Yeah. So we, once we do these tax certs, that normally, once we get the appraisal, we're normally able to work out something, or the all taxing jurisdictions are able to work out something.
What's the tax implication? Like, what are they? What's their tax burden usually versus?
Let's see if I got those numbers. I don't know if I have those numbers on me. Because they have two facilities. They have the Bethesda Drive one. The assessment currently that I thought we had on it was about $3,180,000. And then on the other one was $175,700. They're both at 100%. They're looking at one. They want to drop down the one property at 175 down to 50,000. And then the 3 million, they want to drop down to $1. So I can get some numbers to round.
I mean, do you have an estimate on what the county tax would be on those?
Get those numbers. Melissa's gonna look those numbers up really quick.
All right, what was on that? So the not to exceed 10, that's only our portion?
Yes.
And that would be the litigation expense?
No, that's the valuation.
Yep.
The appraisal.
Why would the appraisal be that expensive?
Commercial appraisals are ridiculous.
Yeah, they're expensive. Really expensive.
$10,000. That seems steep.
If we're splitting it with the township and the school.
And so county tax bill for 2025
was $58,000. Okay.
I'll approve it subject to the other two parties.
Yeah. If they don't participate, then
right. We
don't participate. That's, you actually have a resolution that memorializes all these things from 15 years ago. And if it says if they don't participate, we don't participate.
Okay.
To your point, it shouldn't be, our portion shouldn't be.
Right.
It's expensive, but it shouldn't be close to 10 grand. Just
cover. Yeah, if you got three parties covering it.
Right.
Know. All right, we have a motion.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next two things.
Okay, first, left number three on here, I have amending the local law relative to the volunteer fire and ambulance worker. The governor passed a law which basically added on exemption for surviving spouses that were killed in the line of duty. And they also changed the language. It used to be there was an exemption part of it for 5 years. They changed it to two 5 years. So that's the basic language that I was looking to propose.
Yeah, minimum of 2 to 5 years, which is ridiculous. Yeah, so and that's a 50% on the primary residence.
Correct. Just primary residence.
Okay. I'll move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Okay, last one I have. Amending local law relative to senior citizens exemption, the sliding scale. This, again, is another one that came from our governor that was signed into law. In front of you, you'll see there's a little spreadsheet. So basically on the law, it did not change the income limit. It's only changing the percentage. So as you'll see, they upped it to 65%. So what I did is numbers, and we worked with other directors in the different areas, along with what the law stated. And so basically your 35,000 would still stay at the 50%. And from there to get to the 65, we deducted the numbers that you see off to your right-hand side off of the numbers down to 65. So the income would be 0 to 32,000. So it's really all that's changing is that income percentage limit. It's not really changing the actual income value.
And Larry, you said the bulk of the people who receive this are going to still have the 50%, right? Mm-hmm.
Majority, yeah. We looked at some numbers. We had roughly around, I think, what, 1,400 maybe parcels altogether we looked at that were at 50%. So we just looked at the 50% level to see who was in there. And then we looked at their income numbers. And from there, it's basically going to knock it down to about 12, a little over 1,200 people would probably have, would be able to fall in this 55 to 60, 65 category.
And then the other 200 would be,
they would stay where, basically stay where they're at. I mean, so the other numbers
would be between the 50 and the 65, but you said 1,400, right, previously? So what's the difference of the 200? Would they be in the 45 to 5% bracket? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yep. So, some of them are still at the 50,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll go down from there. And there's some of them, we have a variety of everything from all the way down to 5%.
Right.
So we have quite a different variety. Once you get below that 50%, it bounces all over the place.
And there was already an existing sliding scale on this. The state basically just made a provision so we could go up to 65 rather than capping at 50.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll move it.
Motion.
Second. Do townships also have the ability to do this on the town?
Yes, the local law, so they have to pass their own.
How are they informed of that? Does your office send them notification or?
A lot of them get it through. Yeah, we try to get them some information, but also too, like the assessors are aware of it because they get information from their assessors association with the state. And a lot of these laws are supposed to be forwarded on to the local supervisors and municipalities.
And the deadline for them to do it by is?
There was no date put on it.
Okay.
So this is the law that we have to do, right?
No, this is
don't not. Have
you don't have to.
Don't have to. This is options.
Any further comments, questions? Otherwise, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Okay. Thank you.
I have one more question for Larry. Has there been any additional information from the state on the veterans 100%? What, disabled veteran 100% exemption?
There has been some more updates. There were amendments done to the original law. They did change some language. They took the option out, and now it's mandatory. We have until October of this year to finalize it. What I heard now, even when they did these amendments, there's still some stuff that came up that I think like the VA of the state stuff is looking at it now. They're trying to push for other things. So it's still up in the air. I have been keeping contact with Mr. Smith with RVA,
okay,
working with him on things. There is a lot of still criteria. Everybody thinks it's just because you're designated as 100% disabled, you automatically get it. That's right. Not how it works. There's criteria. There's some four different criteria. There's one that deals with certain mental illnesses. There's a section also you have to be 100% unemployable. There's another section that states that you also have to be qualified for the the adjustable housing. So if you have to modify your home because of your disability. So those are some criteria that are still in there. Also too, like I said, they took the local option language out and made it mandatory. The original language had school in it. So we're also looking at, is this still involving schools? So, you know, that could take an impact on anything dealing with school exemptions as well. Possibly, we just don't know yet.
So even though it's mandatory, we still have to adopt it by October?
Yes.
And will townships also?
Everybody.
Okay.
Yep. Everybody Thank across you. The board.
One other item under this, Larry and I are working on, the governor has also signed legislation recently that provides an exemption for widow or widower of fallen law enforcement officers. But have to get some information because look back at old local laws, it might require some changes. So plan on bringing that to you, I think, next month.
Are any of these that we're passing, are they, especially for the surviving spouse or widow, are they retroactive?
No. We don't refund any.
No,
but someone would still qualify even if their
yes.
law enforcement spouse was killed 2 years
so,
ago.
So if they're, we're not aware, but say there's a widow from 10 years, if they... I don't know how the certification works.
Yeah.
Honestly, we have to take a look at that, but they would qualify.
Okay. It's not from this point going
Correct.
Forward. Okay.
The exemption would be, but not the qualification. Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, so all these exemptions, how many can one person take? Just one? They have to choose like a...
No. I mean, there are actually forms that the state creates for these exemptions that people have to fill out. Either they have to take, like with the veteran stuff, usually they take it to the VA and we get all the information from them and they qualify. Any other exemption usually is filled out, taken to the local assessor. They look at the information to see if they qualify.
Right. But if they have the one for the disabled, they can't get the volunteer firefighter one, for instance.
They qualify for as many as they.
You can get it. So if you're a senior citizen, but you're also following this criteria, the volunteer fire, you can get exemptions for both.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mitch, or is it Melissa for finance? Stacy.
State.
Sorry. I was reading the other one. I apologize.
Morning. Couple items for you today. The first being our contract with Granicus. So this is the software we use to help identify, monitor, and manage our short-term rentals in the county. Since we've started with them, we've really seen a significant increase in our revenue. So seeking your approval to renew at a not to exceed cost of $52,000. And this has been budgeted for 26.
I'll move it.
Second.
Mitch, is this the same expense or are we, what are they, is it charged by percentage? What is it that they, how they?
It's pretty much the same as what it's been historically.
Yeah, they bid, if I recall, the first year implementation was more like 80,000 because they had the implementation cost, and this has been the cost for the out years.
Just managing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last year?
One more? Or is this
renewal?
One more.
One more, okay.
Yeah. And you may hear from others, but the state law that was passed that allows for the collection of sales tax on these properties, this essentially makes us compliant. So we are what the state law prescribed. You technically can opt out. It would require you to stop collecting tax on these and change your local laws. So not suggesting that. I think we talked about that in the past, but this, we're further ahead than other counties in this because we onboarded a year before they changed that portion of the state law.
And so Yates would be in the same position because they were doing it well before we.
Yeah, there are some, talk to a number of counties, the Genesee, Ontario, that are looking that they currently don't. So they're deciding, do we change our local law to include them and capture this? And then they have to partner with a company like Granicus. Well, I guess you don't have to, but everyone right. does because they don't have the bandwidth to do it internally. So good news is we were ahead of the ball on this one.
Good.
So it's a 1 year contract extension, and then well, we'd have to renew annually,
yes.
or what's the discussion?
Yeah, it's an annual renewal.
Annual renewal.
We got one more, I think.
And then we'd have to do an RFP after that.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thank you. Next item I have is requesting authorization to contract with ORIC. So this would be for bond council services for the upcoming landfill expansion. We anticipate having to borrow and do issue bonds for that project for the financing. So we're in need of bond council for when we do that.
We've utilized them.
Did we find out if we can loan ourselves that money?
We cannot.
It'd have to be paid back within
a year. So you could transfer general fund monies to the enterprise should you choose, but can't loan it back and forth.
I'll move it.
We got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have an idea on what the expense would be?
So I'm thinking, and what I would request is a not to exceed cost of $25,000.
And how much is the amount for the bond that we're looking to do?
Uncertain at this point. Bids came in very high. We're still working on that, but bids essentially came in about $20 million. So,
what was it compared to last time we did this?
18.
Okay,
but we had cash at that time.
Yeah. Is the idea we're going to cover a certain portion and then bond out the rest?
That's part of the discussion of how much you want. Yeah. And in the next couple of months, we'll be bringing that to Public Works and here or finance. But that's going to be, we're kind of crunching those numbers now for recommendation purposes in terms of use of cash, but it'd be a significant borrowing. I'd say that the vast majority we'd be looking at bonding.
And we don't need to bid this because it's an attorney service. Correct. We're allowed to
professional service. Yep.
Whoever.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions on this?
I think I said it before in Public Works when Steve Orcutt and them were here, but I think we need to stop giving sweet deals to these large haulers at preferred rates. Because we're the ones that are carrying the whole cost of this thing. And so what if the tonnage drops because we raise our prices, that just means that it takes longer to fill up that landfill.
And we have actually had meetings with a larger hauler about that exact issue.
Yep.
So working on that.
I mean, do other counties give preferred rates to larger haulers?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, though, is once you have cash to build one and then the next one you got to borrow, that's kind of like going backwards in life.
Right.
Yeah, this is, we haven't borrowed for the landfill in probably 20 years. So this is a new thing, and obviously there's cost to that. And we want, from a cash position, we don't want to be depleted. So we want to be able to hit revenue projections that at least, you know, cover us. We very likely will. And we had a meeting with bond council a couple of weeks ago just to talk about fees and this kind of stuff, but very likely bond for 7 years, I believe it was 7 years, wasn't it? But we would want to cash flow it from a pro forma standpoint over the useful life of that cell. So 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with Scott though. If we're given preferred rates, but it's filling it up faster, that's shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yep.
And we only have so much land at the end of the day.
Yep.
Is there a way that we could make that happen? That we could say no on the larger one?
Yes, you can. We're working on that now and be coming to you with information.
We also have contracts in place that we need to let term out.
Correct. So we have contracts with the largest hauler that are currently active and have had discussions about what new rates would look like at much closer to gate rates. While it may be lower than the other gate rates, if we bring you a recommendation, but it would be closing that gap quite a bit.
Yeah.
How much time do you have on those existing contracts?
End of the year, 2 years.
So you could set it up so that maybe it's not renewed or whatever.
Oh yeah, you folks control that. Yeah, certainly. It's a balance because we're not using the space if we don't take in the tonnage, but if there is tonnage and we're covering our air rate plus more, you know, where is that balance? So we'll bring you a bunch
to visit.
We'll bring you a bunch of information to take a look at to see what you want to do.
Okay, all right. Armory Associates. Did, yes, oh, did you not vote? Vote? I thought we did vote,
vote on it.
All right, well then, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, good. I thought we had already voted on that one.
Good morning. The finance office has a contract or previous contract with Armory Associates out of Syracuse to provide our GASB 75 report for our year end. We would like to extend the contract to provide services for the 2025 year end at $6,900. That's because every 2 years they do a full renewal valuation for us. And then on the off year, they just do an update. So to renew at $6,900 for the services ending 2025. And then the interim report for year ending 2026. And then during 2026, we will work with the purchasing department to get some quotes to ensure that we're getting the best price for the service.
I'll move it.
Got a second anywhere?
Second.
Can you explain what GASB 75 is to the non-accountants?
Thank you.
It's the... the post-employment benefit calculation. So we have to turn in information on health insurance and active and retirees. They look at who is on our schedule currently, how long they have before they retire, become eligible for those benefits, and what those benefits are going to cost the county in future years up until 65 when they go on the Medicare.
And then is it normal that you have this full and then this update and then this full and then this update? It's just odd to me that their billing is not consistent. Well, I guess it is consistent.
It is, yeah.
But
yeah. So every year we have, or every 2 years we have to send them the full list of employees, of retirees, of salaries, of birth dates. So they take all of that into consideration in their full valuation, less in their interim year. So it's really every 2 years that we're turning over that information.
So what are they doing in the interim year? They're just updating a few employees that have retired, or what are they doing?
Yes, and they look at the and I'm no expert, but it has to do with the bond index and the percentage. They look at that as well. We use those figures off of the report into our year-end GASB calculation.
Anything further? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nate.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Okay, a couple of requests today. First is in community services, and the request is to create one senior social work assistant position, CSEA grade L. And this is for the AOT program, which is required by the state. They're requiring one full-time employee for this program.
Yeah, we'll get a motion in a second, and then I'll ask my question.
Motion.
A motion in a second. So these positions that we are told are required by the state, are you getting like an email for these, or the department's getting an, how do we know that these are required positions?
So in this particular one, sometimes it's grant applications. Sometimes it's documents from New York State. In this case, there's a assistant outpatient treatment state aid guidance, which states that the program is required and goes through the particulars of what's required and what they're giving and, you know, amounts and that sort of thing. So this particular one is under mental hygiene law section 9.47 and 9.48 that requires it.
And so we get notified from the state when these come down. Is that how we hear about them? How do we hear about them?
Yeah.
Yes. If you have the answer.
Here, you come on up.
The funding comes on our state aid letter. Usually it comes on our state aid letter, and then we say, what is this funding for? What is this? We don't even know what this program is. And then we receive the guidance, which is what happened in this particular case. So they put additional $300,000 on our state aid letter. And I was like, thank you very much, but what are we supposed to do with it? And then they sent down the guidance. And this was the guidance is saying, it's a whole program, and it requires one FTE and so on and so forth. So
right. So our funding just requires this position.
Yeah.
I bring this up just because in the future, when we have these requests for additional positions, if we could just have, you mentioned the state had a, hey, this is this, if you could just attach that to these requests so we know where these requirements are coming from.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got that request about 20 minutes before this.
No, it's fine.
And Lynn, I believe Lynn has sent everyone the plan and
right.
And the state aid letter.
So I wasn't going to require it this time because it's kind of a new request, but just going forward, at least on my agenda, I'd like to see, hey, this is where the state is saying we need to do this. And that way we can track what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. Well, and I think for various positions, you know, not just looking at this one, I mean, again, there can be different, you know, various vehicles that it's done with, right? Whether
sure.
it be a grant application or a state letter or some other, you know, some things are just funded. You know, DSS has a lot of stuff that's funded, that 62 cents on the dollar, stuff like that. So just kind of depends on what it is. But yeah, we'll certainly get what we can to you to.
Right. But when DSS funds, that's when we create a position. But my concern is, are we creating positions that we need to create, or are we creating positions because we want them? Because I would rather reclassify positions if we've got stuff that we want to do, but we don't have the position for, but we're not being compelled by the state to do.
But on the other end, if these are grant based and we have to have the position, when the grant goes away, does the position go away?
Right.
And we, the times that has happened, we bring that back and say, so we lost the state aid on this, but we're seeing successful or not, could be the opposite,
yeah,
that we don't need it. We have had positions that have gone away once the state funding goes away. But
And you know, you folks have very often asked me when I've been up here, you know, what's the likelihood of the funding continuing? We try to be, you know, pretty on top of that if we think it's going to continue or not. I mean, obviously, you never know for sure, but, you know, there's some that it's pretty certain and there's some that are up in the air. So we do try to keep on top of that as well as we can.
Yeah, in the future, I would like to maybe look at all the positions that we've opened with a, hey, the state is requiring, and seeing, is the state still requiring it and are they still funding it? That would be a lot, I know, but I think it would be a worthwhile thing to look at. So
it's a billable position. So should this a billable position as well?
Sure.
So
sure. Okay, we got a motion and a second on this one. All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Extensions, okay. Social services.
Okay, social services, and I don't know if you want to do these separate or together. They all kind of go together. But these positions, as I said last week, you know, these are all positions that were approved in your budget and are funded for this year. And this is simply to officially create them.
We've got a motion.
Do we have some of all of them.
Motion.
Second.
All of these. We discussed previously before we had done the budget, and all were state funded or federally funded. Okay. All
right. The 62 cents on the dollar,
right.
And the IT ones. And I think I mentioned this at human services, the IT ones, IT and Kathy and Lisa have done a great job working together. We historically have had separate, kind of operations, because you have the state IT system that they utilize. This brings it under the umbrella, and this is a plan in working with IT to maximize staffing. So actually, headcount wise, you're not changing much. You're just moving positions or creating them in DSS.
Those positions, though, do get some sort of reimbursement.
62 cents on the dollar.
Which, rather than putting them solely in an IT,
correct,
where they wouldn't get the
zero. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Jack,
thank you.
Yes, thank you. The first item we would like to bring to you next month, we have to do some work in talking with purchasing enterprises. We lease motor pool vehicles and other vehicles, but have to do some work with purchasing on that. So the second item is Empire Access. This is a request to change the date. The contract ends at the end of the month due to, you know, some of the challenging weather and the cold temperatures in installing fiber. We expect them to be complete by the end of the month.
Were they not able to get out Roby Road yet?
They are out there.
Oh, thank God.
They're out there. They are out there. Yeah, they have less than 10 miles left to build. So we're getting pretty darn close to the end of it, but they won't be done with billing by the end of the month. So we'd like to extend it. Propose to extend it until September 30, so a 6-month extension, but we fully expect to be able to be closed with billing by April or May.
I'll move it.
Second.
Do we have any idea, have they given us any information on, so the goal was to attach or make access to 2,000 homes. How many of those 2,000 have taken
the take rate? Yeah, actually we had a meeting with them last week and they're planning a presentation. We're talking maybe April.
Okay.
To come into tell you
how it went.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, this started before I was on the legislature. In terms of the contract, have they financially been what we expected or way over or?
Nope. We're right on target in terms of what we've authorized. We haven't modified.
Mark that on your calendar. That is
one of the biggest delays was NYSEG's pole access.
The pole attachment, yeah, which is unfortunately not uncommon for any telecom company. Yep. So, but yeah, we're not going to be over budget. We're going to be right on budget.
And their scope is basically the same. What they expected.
2,000 homes. Good. Yep.
I think they actually expanded a little more, like they were in certain spots, but we could pick up these three and added some on their own.
They did. Yep. If they were close enough and they found, I remember conversations in Hornby in particular.
I know I talked to them a couple of times and that's what they had told me.
Yep. They've been good to work with.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Thank you. So the next item is relative to covering the attorney's fees for the HOD claim for the city of Corning. Brought it back to you, but we keep getting, or brought it to you last time, not to exceed $10,000, but we keep getting bills. So that's the current amount. It is up to you how you want to handle it. Mr. Thu brought up some suggestions or directions last time, and both Tim and I had conversations with folks at the city of Corning, and we have not gotten any affirmative feedback in terms of them signing the intermunicipal agreement.
Yeah, my thought on this is pretty simple. We say, hey, look, we'll pay your attorney's fees when you get us an answer on the intermunicipal agreement, whether it's a yay or a nay, that's fine. But I think when we say, oh, we didn't approve it, we're waiting on this, I think it'll be a quick turnaround to get an answer on that. And then we can do a special meeting before the legislature if they get us an answer. So I don't think we should approve any extensions until we get an answer on that because I'm tired of waiting. It's been, over a year?
A year. Yeah, more than a year.
Sounds good to me.
Any thoughts?
Will these bills continue to pile up if they don't answer you? So is there a way you can say, listen, we're stopping, a full stop at this until we hear an answer? You cannot increase.
Yeah, we have authorization to pay up to $10,000, but the new bills that came in, we wouldn't process. If that's the will of the committee, we wouldn't process until they give us an answer one way or another on the IMA.
And if they don't want to do it, that we're not going to penalize them for it. We just need to know so that we can make sure that we're not in this situation again.
That was essentially my conversation, is not telling you what to do. We just need communication.
Yeah.
Well, at a minimum, they shouldn't be participating in any SWAT team right now until we have that signed.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother.
Exactly.
The question is, are you willing to cover them without that agreement? And my understanding is they're currently on the team, is my understanding. I don't know that for sure.
Kelly, do you have any information from the sheriff on that?
I haven't talked to him about it. I keep hoping that they'll just sign the agreement and we can move forward. But I will plan on speaking with the sheriff today and indicating to him that
without the agreement that the Corning members on the team will have to not participate.
Will not be, is that the consensus that, well, or at Absolutely. Least they won't yeah. be Absolutely. Covered by the at least they won't be covered by the
but it doesn't matter. I mean, I agree 100% with the action of the committee not wanting to pay this claim. However, as our county attorney has indicated, they are part of the team, they participated in this, and we have to pay this debt. So if they continue to participate, it doesn't solve the problem.
If they're on notice that they won't be covered,
if they're on notice, then you we
they shouldn't be on the team.
Yeah.
Well, I get that, but I know this we're going to run into the issue of, hey, you can't tell me what to do. And so I'm wondering if the better way is to just say, hey, look, anyone that's not county employee will not be covered if there is an incident, and let them know. And then it's on the sheriff to talk with his.
Unfortunately, team. He was told that in 2022.
Yeah.
And his response was that it's basically mutual aid.
But it's not really covered by the mutual aid agreement.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with their legal bill. Okay. Right. Because this is past stuff.
Right.
I understand that. I just have a problem with now and moving forward that no one should be on a SWAT team at the county unless we have a signed agreement in place. End of story.
Agreed. It seems ridiculous that they're either, I just pick a direction. We don't care which one you pick.
Yep.
Just decide.
That's what you're saying, Tim. Yeah. They shouldn't be on the screen.
So then I guess we got two separate things, which is a directive to what the how would we phrase it, to the officers of the Corning or to the sheriff, saying no member of the SWAT team.
So the two parts, if you want the communication about the paying of this bill, Tim can talk to their counsel. I can talk to the city manager and advise them on that portion of it. The other would be the communication about staying on the team absent that agreement.
Right. Does that get directed to the sheriff or to the officers?
Both. I would tell, in my case, the city manager, he would tell Corning Council, and then
Would the city manager want that to continue when he knows that that's a liability?
I don't think he does. Last time he said, okay, I'll ping the attorney again.
Well, might need to talk with a different attorney if the attorney's not getting back to him on it.
Well, no, my question is, why would the city manager want his police officers involved in a SWAT team without an agreement in place? Why isn't their attorney
right.
finding
this thing? I can't speak for him. I would say it concerns me in a similar role on this side of the fence.
Yeah. And they are much more answerable to the city manager because the police chief isn't elected like we have.
You're correct.
I'm always correct.
Where's Hilda? Where's
Hilda? Hilda just agreed.
Yeah. That in the minutes, Amanda.
So then are we on the same page for both of those, which is discuss paying the additional fees when we receive a response. And we're also going to advise everyone involved that no further SWAT involvement until we have some sort of agreement in place.
That gives us our marching orders. Don't need a motion for that or anything.
All right. We're on the same page.
Okay, thank you. Number four, send an email around with the scoring matrix. We for recruiting services, we talked about this when we issued the RFP, but with the difficulty, we're trying to hit everything that we can in terms of options to try to find folks, especially in professional or licensed positions like attorneys, social workers, those sort of things. So we put out an RFP. We have five responses. Personnel in our office, so four of us scored them. The average scores are what was attached in your matrix. From a cost standpoint, it really came down between TGC Search and Pracademic Partners. TGC Search is a larger firm, I would say. They have they proposed four options, but the least expensive was 15% of the first year salary. They have worked primarily in New York City, not a lot of county experience. Pracademic we have used before. They are a smaller firm. They proposed, like one other, a retainer fee. plus $5,000 per successful placement. They were the only ones that put a one-year guarantee that if a candidate separated service, was appointed, accepted by us, separated service within a year, we would get the next recruitment at no charge. We'd like to give, the recommendation would be to give, to award to Pracademic. Obviously keep an eye to see how it goes. If the performance is there, then, you know, to me, it's worth paying to find and fill these positions. If for some reason it's not, we do have the cancellation clauses in the contract that we could bring back to you.
So ultimately, Pracademic is less expensive and is giving us a guarantee if we have...
Correct. If you... So kind of ran the numbers based on average starting salary. If within the course of a year they were able to place five individuals, Pracademic would be about $5,000 less than TGC search. So five is kind of the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than that, you're paying a retainer as opposed to just a, so it's, but also with the 1 year guarantee, TGC didn't propose that. So that gives, to me, that's a little value.
Well, yeah, because frankly, a lot of people get into a job and then leave. So if you get a free placement the next time, that seems like a good... And how long would the term be for?
It would be, I think we put it for potential for 5 years, but with annual renewals. So it would be annual.
Okay.
But we'd, if we wanted to continue it, we'd have to bring it back to you for authorization annually.
Questions?
I'd make a motion to go with Pracademic.
Second.
Not only based on their quote, but we have history with them.
We have utilized them for two successful searches. One sitting right next to me.
County.
Yep.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
There you go.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Yeah, no, Tim's here over a year. No free one for him, so... administrative code changes, which are attached. So relative to two items, to Will's point, I anticipate us taking a deeper dive into, you know, administrative code and potential changes. These are ones that have been brought to our attention that we'd like to propose for you folks to adopt to take care of some kind of immediate issues. They are redlined. So the first part is in your finance section. And Mitch and Stacey can also talk to it, but proposing to add a new section F in terms of allowable transfers that can be accomplished under that section. And essentially, they're running into a point as the year-end transfers happen that they have to close some things out. Most of the departments can cover any, say, overtime or salaries and wages, or in a lot of these cases, if an employee retires, we pay out, you know, their annual leave, portion of their sick leave. That's a pretty good chunk of change that is coming out of their budget. So a lot of the transfers can be accomplished within that department. And if they can, this is proposing that finance makes those changes, reports it back to finance committee on the budget transfers. If we need to pull, and we do have some in the hopper for end of 2025 close, if there's not enough money within their department budgets, then it has to come to you folks to authorize a transfer, essentially from contingency, or it, potentially we listed contingency, but it could be reserves or any other type of funding. But this change, it kind of codifies what, in talking with Stacey and Mitch, like what we've done under Tammy for a lot of years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not, they found it wasn't actually codified in language anywhere. So this is essentially the past practice that we've done, but we want to kind of solidify that portion. Did I cover that, Mitch? Okay. And then the second is an add to the HIPAA policy related to Gallagher, our benefits consultant, made us aware of a change in federal law. And this is basically just memorializing that in terms of disclosures of substance use disorders. So that is aligns our HIPAA policy with changes in federal law.
I've read through, it's basically stating that, you know, if someone's got substance abuse issues, that can't be used against them, and it's confidential, and
there are disclosure, you know, a court of competence can force disclosure, but right. Yeah.
Okay. Got a motion for that? Any questions on it?
Motion. Second.
Okay, no further discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, anything else?
Thank Jack? You. Nothing on my end.
I had one question for Tim. Back when you were talking about the recovery of forfeited properties, you mentioned mortgage companies, and do they have the ability to go? Why would a property that had a mortgage on it have ever gone to foreclosure anyways?
Company, the mortgage was already on the property. We would have extinguished it. Now they're coming back to say they want their money.
But my question is why would the bank have allowed it to ever get extinguished?
That happened.
It does happen. It wasn't enough.
If the place
the value to
them. The hell, and they got too much money into it, they don't want to bother with it.
If they're upside down, they'll walk.
So if they're upside down, then they'll walk.
They'll walk away.
They'll intentionally do that. Okay.
That's like the real zombie properties from back in the day of now the bank's even walking away from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They send someone like me out there to look at it and take pictures just like I do their cars, and then they say it's not worth it. You know, they do. I mean,
okay, that makes more sense.
All right, entertaining a motion to adjourn. Mm-hmm. A second,
second,
all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.